Hey there, and welcome to the His Beloved Catholic Podcast. I'm Megan Copeland.
And I'm Kendra Bartlett, and we are two best friends that we live right across the street from each other. And between us, we have 10 kids, a ton of redheads.
Yes, we do. We run a ministry in Austin, Texas called His Beloved, and our mission is to invite women, children, teenagers into an encounter with Jesus and to bring revival in the Catholic Church. And we are just so excited you are here.
Come join us.
Hey y'all, welcome back. How's it going?
Good. How are you? Hello, friends.
Okay, so before we started,
Hold on. Oh, you're gonna okay, go there. Go.
I was gonna tell you. Yeah. So before we started, Kendra just told me the funniest story ever. And so I'm a little bit like giggly right now.
Yes.
And I feel like y'all need to hear this story.
The cricket story. Yeah. So here's what happened. So we have this big cricket infestation in Round Rock. Like Megan was talking about her girls at Round Rock. Should I say where they go?
Well, we already have.
Okay, Round Rock High School. Okay. And how crickets like fall out of the ceiling tiles into their hair, and because their legs have those little spiky things, it's like Velcro and they get stuck.
But I just told her that today. She didn't know this last weekend. I didn't know that. Okay.
So we're at Mass on Sunday and a cricket
drops. You have to understand, our church is one of those big like Spanish style, massive dome. I mean, it's probably four stories tall.
Yeah.
It's a huge ceiling.
Church. Okay. Yes, yes. And this cricket appears out of nowhere and plops onto the pew in front of us.
Falls from the ceiling.
So I was sitting down by my older girls, which usually doesn't happen, during Mass. And we like looked at each other and like, what do we do with this cricket? And so I tried to like shoo it off the pew onto the ground. And this is when at the very beginning, when we all stand up and we're saying the prayers, all this stuff. Well, instead of going to the ground, it scoots further away to where the woman in front of us, if she were to sit down, she would get it smack right on her butt. So being a fellow woman, knowing that I would hate to have cricket guts on my butt for the rest of Mass, I was like, okay, I got to do something. I got to step in. And so Philomena turns around to try to get something out of her purse. I hate killing bugs too. That's my thing. Like, it makes me really sad.
You don't like killing them?
I don't like killing them.
Because you don't want them to die or because you don't like the sound?
Yeah, I don't want them to die. They didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, see, I just don't like the sound.
Yeah, I don't like the crunch either. Okay. I hate the crunch. Yeah, it's like, well, okay. So I bend over and I scoop it up and I'm holding it in my hand. And then I think, well, what do I do next? Because if I were to release it on the ground, my six children would absolutely lose their mind. And we would be those people in the pew, like squealing and jumping and all the things. So I hold the cricket in my hand until the liturgy of the word, because that's when we do children's liturgy. And we walk out of the building and I release our friend into the grass. But the whole time it was like jumping in my hand, like trying to get out, tickling and could have peed. Who knows? I have no idea. Okay. So
well, that's high level parenting right there.
Thank you.
That was
Thank
impressive. You. And you really supported that other woman.
Yes.
I'm very impressed by that.
Yes. Yeah. My girls went to school the next day and told their friends and they were like, all the boys think you're a hero, Mom. Like, thank you. I do what
hysterical.
I can.
You're so funny. That's so. Eli's job. He is in charge of all bugs now at our house. Except for scorpions. I am quite a scorpion killer.
Scorpions are my worst enemy.
Yeah, you don't do scorpions.
I don't.
I think I've just gotten so used to it.
It's
just,
I run.
It's part of my life now.
Yeah.
So today, our episode, we've been wanting to do this for a really long time, just to talk about friendship and community and the gift that God has given us as best friends who live across the street from each other and the things that he's taught us along the way. And so now seemed like the right time to do this.
Yeah. We were actually listening to one of our encounter classes, and he was going through the rules of St. Ignatius, and he got to rule 13. And whenever he was speaking out about it, it hit me because so much of our friendship. So rule 13 is finding trusted spiritual friends with whom to share your struggles, so that they are out in the light rather than hidden in darkness. And we talk about that a lot on our podcast of getting things out into the light, and the severity of them, the bigness of them immediately shrinks down and loses its power because the enemy wants you to be in darkness and shame and quiet,
isolation.
All those things, isolation. And I immediately just, you know, thanked God for my friendship with Megan because, and maybe we'll get into it, I don't know, but there have been moments whenever Megan stepped in and was that person. I mean, she always is, but just some big moments in my life where you have stepped in and gently called me out of darkness and things in my life that allow light to shine and healing same, girl, and all that stuff. So
Yeah. And we wanted to kind of give a disclaimer on this too.
Yeah.
We know that God has given us an amazing gift. And our friendship is, it's so beautiful. But I don't ever want this to come across as, oh, we have it all figured out.
Yeah.
Or for this conversation to breed any resentment or any jealousy or any loneliness in your heart, if you are desiring hopelessness. Like, yeah. Please do not let this conversation be a place for the enemy to seed, you know, or to sow seeds of doubt and hopelessness. Like, let this be a place for the Lord to show you what beauty he can create in your life.
Yeah.
Because Kendra and I, if you'd asked us 10 years ago, if we ever thought we'd be in a friendship like this, I don't think either one of us thought we would be here. We were both very lonely. I live in the same neighborhood, same house that we currently live in. And it's an older neighborhood. And my husband grew up in this house. And so he's been here for almost 30 years. And so the neighbors were all the same neighbors. It's just a very old established neighborhood. And there were no kids.
Yeah.
And it was lonely. And I had 3 kids, 4 and under. And couldn't really leave the house and didn't know where to find friends, especially in the very beginning when it was just the 2 girls. We have 2 kids 16 months apart. Like, you stay home.
Right,
you don't go a lot of places, you know?
Yeah.
And I was starting to find friendships in church, but I really wanted, like, friendships on the street. And so I almost left.
Yeah.
And I almost moved away. And the whole time I was praying for, like, God, just give me somebody that I can share my life with. Give me somebody that I can trust, that I can, you know, just do life with. Because I had tasted and seen how beautiful Christian friendship could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I wanted that. And then you were kind of feeling the same thing.
Yeah, I was living across town in just a nearby small town. And, I also had little ones, lived on a street with older people. And for me growing up, I had – like such a fun childhood because I lived on a cul-de-sac with tons of kids and we just ran the cul-de-sac and we were out there playing all the time. And it was so much fun. My parents were friends with their parents and it was just our community right there on the cul-de-sac. And whenever we were living in Pflugerville, I mourned that for my kids. You know, they didn't have kids just to run out the door and play with. And we had to schedule play dates. And granted, it's doable. We can do that. It works fine. You know, you can definitely have deep friendships in that way. But having tasted that as a kid, I wanted that for my kids. But also for me, you know, I joined the moms group at our church. And God really provided a sweet community for me. I'm really grateful for it. But at the same time, it's not that the friendships were always surface level, but they were like medium level. Like it wasn't like I could bare my heart. And, and also I felt like, and you say this a lot too, like just not fully understood with many things, with desires and of my heart and my relationship with the Lord and things like that. And so at the same time, my husband was working at the church here close to our house now. And I just, you know, driving back and forth at preschool, you know, he was a youth minister. We were up here all the time. I wanted to get closer. And so I just began praying for friendship and I began praying to move closer.
Yeah.
And the Lord just completely parted the seas. I mean, it took some time because my husband was 100% not wanting to move. He is not good with change. Like I have to warn him when I rearrange the furniture, God bless him. He's gotten so much better, but it did take some time for both for him, you know, to come to the idea. And then literally the Lord like parted the seas for this house on the street. And actually Chris had done stuff with Megan with ministry a little bit. And I had done one thing with you a little bit. And the fact that it was the house across the street, just, he just blew my mind. And whenever we're talking about friendship and I'm thinking about this with the disclaimer, you know, that you shared, Megan, I kind of liken it to whenever I was single and I longed for my spouse and I knew that God had something in store and I knew, that I had to trust him with that plan. And as other, you know, people around me were, you know, in solid relationships and stuff, you can glance out and the spirit of comparison can really knock you down. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing with friendships, and that we can hand that over to the Lord and trust him with our journey. And it took, you know, us fully trusting to move and fully trusting the finances of it all and fully trusting, that he would provide that friendship. And,
cause that was a big jump and a big decision in order to move at that time for you guys.
Yeah, it was. So many things had to fall into place, and they did. And we had a 2-month-old, like,
oh yeah, I forgot he was so little.
Crazy. Yeah. But then moving on to the street, you know, the friendship started like, it wasn't like we were 100% dive deep, bare our souls. But we gave each other, it didn't, no, but we gave each other time to get there.
Yeah.
And moments to get there. And I think the receptivity to receive whenever the other one was going there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a beautiful place to start a friendship.
Yeah. So the other thing too, though, that was happening on our street at the same time is before Chris and Kendra moved in. So this is when I was like super lonely. I didn't have anybody. I even started looking at houses, like, because my kids were going to a school that was far away, and I was doing a lot of driving to the other church in town. And I was like, well, maybe we should just move over there.
Yeah.
And then a family moved in next to Kendra's house, and they had 6 kids. And I was like, 6 kids? That's exactly, I'm good now. all I need is one family of 6 kids to entertain my children. This is perfect. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing was they had a swimming pool in the backyard. And so they couldn't play in the backyard. It was like completely gated off at all times. And so they only played in the front yard. And it changed our whole makeup of this neighborhood, because we went from being like backyard people that only played in our backyards to, well, the kids want to be in the front yard because the Kreitzers are in the front yard and we want to be where they are.
Yeah.
And so we ended up hanging out in the front yard all the time. And, you know, the mom and I would stand around and talk. And so it kind of started this like culture of the kids all playing together and having a ball. And
yeah, because that was established whenever we moved on to the street. Like,
that was when it started. I love that. Because they couldn't play in their backyard. And being front yard people has changed this neighborhood. Has changed our families. It's changed our relationships, because it's made it like we want to encounter people. We want to be out in the streets. We want to, and we literally, there's always children in the street.
Yeah.
I don't know that all the neighbors love that, but hey, it's just how it is.
It's okay.
And then after they moved in, then another Catholic family moved in down the street, the Roses, who we adore. And I actually didn't know them at all when they moved onto the street, but Chris and Kendra did.
Yeah.
And so then we had this just like sweet little community of, you know, Catholic families who were journeying together. And those two families have since moved on, and it's just us. But then comes in Rachel.
Right.
And, and when Rachel and Nathan came to visit, we've told the story on the podcast before, but if you haven't heard it, when they came to visit to look at houses, we were all on the street.
Yeah.
And there was probably, I mean, at least 3 families out there, 10 or 12 kids running around. And Chris ran over to them and introduced himself and was so just so generous and genuine. And I'm not like that. I'm like, oh, it's awkward. There's people here. Hide. That's like how I handled that situation. And Rachel left there that day and said, I don't care how much his house costs or what problems it has. Mm-hmm. I want to move here because I want to be part of this community, because it was such a beautiful, vibrant.
Yeah.
Like, you could just see the joy in our kids and in the families. And I think a lot of that had to do with us being willing to hang out in the front yard.
Yeah.
So that's my first tip for anybody who is wanting community.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out in your front yard.
Yeah.
Don't hide behind a fence. Be in the front yard where you can see people.
Yeah.
Talk to people as they walk by. Like, Rachel's so good about, like, she knows everybody.
Everybody. Everybody.
all the little old people, because we still have a ton of little old neighbors. Like, we're the only young families. Everybody else is still like has been here forever. She knows all their life stories. She knows everything that's happening in this neighborhood. And again, I'm super awkward sometimes and I don't talk to people.
Right.
So we depend on Rachel to well, the other day we're outside and something happened and she took off running to go figure out like the, what was going on. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll see you later.
Bye.
She's like, I gotta go talk to that person. I'm like, okay.
So funny. I
Sweet
love her.
Little busybody.
Oh, that's so funny. To add to that a little bit, you know, let's say you're on a street and you're where Megan and I were, and there aren't many kids. Since we have witnessed the blessings of being front yard people, go be front yard people and don't let age
deter
that's
true
you,
too.
You know, because I have someone that speaks into my life a ton who's mm-hmm. older than me, and she's, you know, her kids are married, and it's such a blessing to have someone that has been through the trenches already and on the other side that can speak life into me. So she could, they could be who you've been praying for.
Yeah, totally. Well, and so Rachel ended up moving into that house that had the six kids in it. So on one side, Kendra has Rachel and her family. And on the other side, we have neighbors that have been Chad's neighbors since he was a little kid. And she taught at the local elementary school for 30 years. And she has really kind of just mentored all of us and loved all of us. And she has become a godmother to one of Rachel's kids. Yeah. So, and she doesn't have little kids on the street.
Yeah.
So we, you know, include everyone. I think there's a real beauty in intergenerational.
Uh-huh.
The way that we can support one another and pour into each other.
Yeah.
And singles in that too, because young singles have a lot more time on their hands to help with kids. And then, and then when they end up having kids, then you're probably in a later stage of life where you can end up helping them. And then we end up like just like it comes like a cycle. Like I can help you at this time in my life. You can help me later on. And then we just like continue to serve and love one another.
Yeah. Well, and then also we have three young couples on our street that all had babies,
which is so sweet,
within the last 3 months. And so it's just exciting to see what's going to come of that, you know, when their kids can play out front and become front yard people, how, you know, we can speak into their lives and just love on them where they're at.
It's like the next generation.
Fun. But let's say you're a young mom and you're thirsting for community. Is that pepper underneath our house, underneath the thing?
I thought something moved under my chair.
I think pepper's under the... Oh my goodness. We're recording in... What is this?
Like it's like a little tiny house in my backyard. Yeah. That's our podcast studio. Apparently and my dog can go under it.
Scratching underneath and the flooring is getting like bumped up a little bit. So pepper's underneath. Pepper wants to be friends.
I was like, is he in here? Okay, carry on.
That's so funny. What was I saying? Oh, reach out. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yes.
And don't be afraid to say, I'm in the hard, I'm in the trenches, I'm struggling. And even if it's another mom who is also in the trenches and struggling, get together and be covered in baby poop and barf while you like just journey together.
Yeah.
You know, and let each other see the yuck and like bear one another's hearts. You know?
And no matter what stage of life that is, if you are with a young new baby, because my goodness, that's the hardest phase ever. And no one ever expects it to be that hard. And so they don't know what they don't know. But even if you don't have kids, if you're single, if you're young married and marriage is harder than you thought it was going to be, like ask for help, because I guarantee you there's other people who are feeling the same way. And so, you know, you were talking about earlier how our friendship kind of went from being, you know, just neighbors on the street to depth. And I don't really remember when that change occurred.
Yeah.
But I do know there was one really important part when, so if you heard episode one of my daughter and how sick she was during that time in my life. So during those really lonely years, that was when she was sick and we didn't know what was wrong with her. And all I knew is that my life was upside down and we couldn't, like, she was angry all the time and we just didn't know how to handle it. And I got a lot of really negative feedback during that time. And so I just stopped talking to people. I stopped asking for help. I stopped talking about what was happening in my daily life. And I just dealt with it on my own. And that was the year that Kendra moved in. And so you moved in like in July. And I remember the very first time we went to see a psychiatrist, that was like 3 weeks, I think, after you moved in. It was real close in that time frame. And I hadn't told really the neighbors on the street what was going on. I hadn't really told anybody. And that was the first time I had actually reached out for help. As I said, you guys, I'm really struggling and I'm going to a psychiatrist today with her and I'm terrified. Like, I don't know what this is going to be. And I just remember you like being so genuine and like you cared so deeply. And then it opened up this whole new side of me where I was like, you know what? I don't have to hide in the darkness anymore. I can be honest with Kendra, because you were so receptive of my heart and you didn't judge me or anything else. You were just like, yeah, we're going to do this together. Like we're all in. And I do think that's probably what solidified our relationship so quickly is you were like, okay, I'm in the fight with you. Whatever this takes, we're doing this together.
Yeah.
It was really powerful.
Yeah.
And do you remember the Catherine Whitaker? So we went to a retreat. This was, I guess, about a year later. We went to a retreat in Buda, and Sister Miriam was a speaker. And we, and we invited ourselves to dinner with her.
Sure did. 100%.
We're like, we'll just stand right here next to y'all while you talk about dinner plans, and then we'll come too. Anyways, it was super fun. It was a great women's conference. But Catherine Whitaker was one of the breakout session speakers, and she was telling the story about how when her son Luke was born, he was very, very, very sick, and he nearly died multiple times, and he was a NICU baby. And she talked about just the journeys of having a NICU child, but then he'd gone back for a surgery when he was 4 years old. So now he's not a baby anymore. And they have been through some of the hardest things you could ever imagine. And the way that our children's hospital is set up, there's a garden outside that she can walk around. And Luke was healthy enough that she could take him around in the garden. And she's holding him while he's like inpatient for the surgery. And she looks up at the building, and at the top, she can see the NICU floor, and she can see a new mom holding a NICU baby. And she just looks up at her and thinks, that was us. Like, I was there. That was like, look how far we've come. And again, not out of the woods completely, but like, look how far the Lord has taken us. And that was really moving to me. And Kendra turned to me and she said, one of these days you're going to look up at the window and you're going to be that mom who's standing on the ground helping the other new mom journey through this terrible, scary time. And so after that, it kind of became like our thing. It was like a daily check-in, kind of like, how are you doing today, Megan? And we would come and we would stand in the street, and she would say, like, she would just look at me and see the look on my face. And she was like, it was a hard day today, wasn't it? And I'm like, yeah, it was a hard day. And then she'd say, one of these days, you're going to look up at the window. And then other days, I'd come out with a smile on my face, and she'd say, you'd see the window today, don't you? You're seeing it. And so it was like this constant reminder of, like, even when today feels hard, I can remember yesterday. And Kendra was always reminding me that, like, we're going to keep having hope, I think is what it was. And she was a constant reminder of hope, but not like in a life is always wonderful kind of way. Like, I think Kendra does a really good job of living in the hard with people, but not staying in the hard. You know what I mean? Like, allowing you to have the hard feelings and have a hard conversation, and then saying like, okay, we're going to move forward from there. But holding space to do that, which I know is not an easy, it's not an easy thing to do. And not everybody has that gifting, I think, to be able to sit in a hard place with somebody. But I think that really, really strengthened us. Because it was like, I think it goes back to like being vulnerable. When you can have real, vulnerable, honest conversation. And share your heart with people, that it creates a strength there that.
And I think also within those seasons, and throughout all of our friendship, we've had to have like hard conversations. And so whenever Chris and I got married, or like whenever we were engaged, you know, divorce, just not an option. And he was like, well, we're gonna have to kill each other if we want to get rid of each other. So
that's lovely.
Right. But you know, coming here and like, as our friendship was developing, like the type of person that I am is that like, I'm a ride or die friend. And, whenever we began to like, really nurture that part of our friendship and like you being vulnerable with me, and I've had moments as well when like I've come to you and you just knew, and I had to bend over and cry on your shoulder. Sorry. Cause she's shorter than me.
Quite a bit.
But seriously, and you just let me cry, and, you know, you just let me know that it was going to get better. Like, there was going to be a day when it was going to get better. But with that, I think in entering into allowing each other into those places and being willing to have those hard conversations, I think coming at it with the mentality of like, we're having this conversation because I love you,
right?
And because I'm not giving up on our friendship, and because I know that that we need to, you know, figure this out to get it out of the way. You know, you know what I mean?
Well, and Kendra would always say, we're going to be together in the nursing home.
Yes.
This is not, this is not a short-term friendship.
Right.
We are, this is forever. And we're going to have, we're going to share a nursing home together. And
so, Rachel too.
Which is Rachel too.
She's going to keep us on our toes.
And I think with Rachel, you and I had already kind of made that mm-hmm. that move towards this is forever.
Right.
And I think for her, it was a little bit harder. She like kept thinking that we were going to like turn away from her. Or something. Yeah. Like, no, no. You're in this forever too. Like right. you're not getting away.
Right.
from
yeah.
us anytime
yeah.
soon.
She's even shared how she's never experienced anything like that.
Yeah.
And so
I hadn't either, to be really honest. Yeah. I'd never had a friendship like that, that I felt that yeah. certain of. Neither. And I think there's like, it's almost like an identity thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Like being so grounded and rooted in who we are mm-hmm. in our identity with the Lord gives us space to be fully alive and fully ourselves in our identity with one another. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah.
And there's a rooting and a grounding with that too. It's like yeah. you fully know who I am yeah. and you love me. I don't need to try to be anybody I'm not.
Right.
And I fully love you for who you are. So there's no right. like facade or fakeness or like trying to. And it wouldn't work anyways because
right.
we see through each other.
Like, we do. Like,
yeah. Like if Kendra
so
comes-
many times, so many times I come in and Megan's like, is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, everything's good. But she knows not everything is okay. And it always comes out. So I don't know why I don't just like go there right away.
It makes her mad sometimes. She's like, why do you always know? I'm like, I don't know. I just can't. I can't not know. Like
it's
I can just
gift.
Tell.
It really
like.
Is.
Yeah, I don't know.
But sometimes I don't even know.
Yeah.
But there is something. And so I'm like, no, it's fine. But then there is something. And then once like we go there, Megan's always so good about like seeing the truth and, you know, getting it out of the darkness and, you know, praying with me there and all that stuff. It's like, oh, thanks, Megan.
Yeah, there was something
sorry,
I
had to drag my heels on
that
one.
Yeah. Anyways. But yeah, but like there's just a genuineness. Like we don't have to try mm-hmm. to put on some fake thing. And I think that comes to... has to do with like feeling so safe
yeah.
in the friendship.
Yeah.
But the only way you get to that point is by being really honest and really open and
right.
right? Like it doesn't yeah. just automatically happen on its own. And it, and some of that happens by having hard conversations,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
And maybe it's like once you've made it through a really hard one, then you know you can make it through hard ones in the future.
Yeah.
Right. Like
yeah.
we don't always get along. And but honestly, we don't fight ourselves very much at all. It all has to do with our kids. Because the
yeah.
only time we ever fight is when
true.
Our kids are fighting.
Right.
But there's
that's
like,
true.
But there's just a really, I don't know, just a really safe place to be able to be open and honest with one
yeah.
another. And I've never, ever had that before.
Yeah.
And Kendra's taught me how to fight for friendship and how to, you always say you're not good at confrontation, but you're so good at having hard conversations. Mm. And you've taught me how to speak with love and how to be honest without being hurtful, hopefully not too hurtful. You know mm. what I mean? But like you've really formed that in me because in the past I did not have good yeah. quality friendships. I either felt like I had to perform to be mm-hmm. part of a friend group or I, you know, would get angry with people and never talk to them about it. Very like passive aggressive and
yeah.
And it wasn't like intentional. It's just I didn't know any better. Like
yeah.
no one had taught me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's a very common.
Same. I really think it was just a grace. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's funny because the Lord like teaches us things as we're going along too.
Yeah.
It's not like either one of us, I think, like walked in with this like great understanding.
Right.
It was just being open to the Spirit and
yeah,
like running hard
true.
Towards the Lord together and
that's
letting
true.
Him kind of figure things out for us.
Yeah.
And just being near.
And on the flip side, the enemy gets in our business.
Yeah.
Like really does like plant seeds of ugliness.
Yeah.
Like we can tell like, okay, the enemy is trying to get between us.
Yeah. And here's the thing I think is really big about that for anybody listening is he's going to try to get in the middle of everything always.
Yeah. That's so true.
Always. And so I think that was a big shift for us in this friendship is that we had started to discern what was of God and what was
mm-hmm.
not. And
mm-hmm.
so we knew not to fall for the enemy's lies.
Yeah.
Like I would have when I was in high school or in college. Like
right.
I would have just believed it hook, line, and sinker back then.
So true.
And become really angry with somebody over something that never even happened probably.
Yeah.
Because that's what he does, right? He creates this narrative in your mind of like, oh, she's mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you better be careful, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or, oh, she's doing something behind your back. And then all
right.
of a sudden there's just like this paranoia
mm-hmm.
and fear that's run amok. And that gives him the perfect place to just cause chaos.
Yeah.
But I think because we were like on that discernment journey, we started to figure out like, this is not of God.
Yeah.
This is not how God speaks. And Kendra's so good about saying, I left our conversation today and I felt weird about something. Did I hurt your feelings? And usually like 9 times out of 10, I'm like, no, no, I'm fine. Thanks.
Yeah.
But it's like that
yeah.
constant being like, hey, I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
So if I am hurting you, you
yeah.
have permission to speak to me about it kind
yeah.
of thing versus
yeah.
like my old friendships, it wasn't like that, you know?
Yeah.
And just constantly checking in and being like, hey, are you all right?
Yeah.
And then if it's something little, then you can talk through it and it doesn't become something like big and passive aggressive.
Yeah.
And if not, then you let it go.
Something that has really blessed me and really honestly, like words will never be able to express like the depth of how it's blessed me. And I've never really told a story, so I don't know if I can put words to it. I'll try. But so about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, my body just crashed. Like I thyroid went crazy. Adrenals went crazy. And I was just in a really terrible place.
It was scary.
It was, yeah, it was awful. I was just like a shell of a person. Couldn't fully parent. It was horrible. And along that journey, and that's many, like the moments whenever I would come out and like cry on Megan's shoulder. And she journeyed with me so beautifully through all of that. And fast forward, I sought out like different things, because doctors, you know, they'd read my blood work and everything was fine, but it really wasn't fine. And like answers were not like at my fingertips. And so we, found, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I told you.
You found, it's called nutrition response testing, and also known as muscle testing. And so I gave it a try. And at the same time, Megan, you know, it was part of their journey too of looking for answers. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it just, it fit. It wasn't super expensive. It was giving me what I thought were answers. And so I stuck with it. And over the years though, I became almost addicted to it in the sense that my hope for any other alternative was completely gone. That I had to have it to have stability in my mm-hmm. body. It was just so many tiny lies of the enemy.
Yeah.
That I let take root and grow.
It became security.
It became security. Yeah, absolutely.
Which is an idol, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so then through God's grace, Megan, I don't remember what brought it up for you.
Well,
you
started researching it. So I had gone off and on since that initial time that I invited Kendra, but I didn't go with the same consistency. And I would go for like once or twice, and then I wouldn't go for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. And but it always kind of felt a little off to me. Like I couldn't quite pinpoint why it didn't feel quite right to me. Mm-hmm. And that summer, the Lord had like taken me on a journey to show me some things in our world that I believed were good that were actually not good. Mm-hmm. And one of those was the Enneagram. And I was really, really into the Enneagram. I thought it was amazing. I mean, I say into it. I just thought it was fun. Yeah. I wasn't like worshiping it or anything. Yeah. But I just was really interested in the Enneagram. And over time, the Lord showed me that that wasn't of God. And
yeah.
And then it opened up my mind for this.
It was the prophetic prayer in class that the priest received the.
Oh, you're right. He said out. He was, this priest prayed this prophetic message and it was, it was dental floss. Isn't that what it was?
Or like toothpick or something.
Or a toothpick. Yeah. One of those dental toothpicks, like floss toothpicks. And he was like, I'm cleaning out all the gunk out of your life so that you can have freedom or something like that.
Yeah.
And I really like clung to that. And, and that same.
Not that the priest was cleaning it out. God was.
Yeah. God was.
He just,
That was from the Lord. So during that time period, I went to muscle testing and I came home and there was something that was said there. She said, let's ask what we, let's ask where this pain is coming from or something. And I was like, who is she asking? Mm. That just didn't, it didn't set right with me. And so mm-hmm. I went home and I Googled it. Is muscle testing, you know, dangerous? Is it, in line with Catholic teaching? Is it, you know, and I found some things that showed that it wasn't mm-hmm. in line with Catholic teaching. And that was scary. And so I kind of started researching and I reached out to a couple of, priests that we trust. And they didn't really know what it was, to be real honest. It was, they were like, let me look into it more. I don't really understand this. But one of them talked to the...
exorcist friends.
Yeah, the College of Exorcism and asked them. And they said it was on the list of...
No-no list.
The no-no list for exorcists. And that they've had to do exorcisms because of it. And later on, I read another thing that said it's basically like turning your body into a Ouija board. And so then I was done at that point. Once I heard, and I think part of it too is like the Lord was already working in my heart and showing me these things and illuminating stuff for me that made it a lot easier for me to walk away. But I also wasn't as intertwined as Kendra was.
And the more I had been going, like, well, I say this, as you started to share those things with me, the claws of it dug deeper. If that makes sense. That way, like, it was really hard.
Because you had moments of being like, oh, okay, this makes sense. Yes. Like, everything you're saying makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. But I had surrendered to the spirit of fear. And yeah. And other things that I wasn't aware of. But as you started to like share those things with me, the claws dug deeper and it was harder for me to rationalize, and it became muddier and grayer, and I was trying so hard to make sense of why it's okay. And anyways, going on with things, this is over probably like 2-3 months, and then towards the end of that 2-3 months, I had another just kind of like it all happened all over again with my body. Mm-hmm. And again, claws going even deeper. Yeah.
So now your fear is even more.
Even more.
Now you need it even more.
Right.
In your mind.
Yeah. Right. And
which
so,
again, when Kendra was in that stage both times, it was the scariest thing I've ever seen. Like, I thought I had lost Kendra forever. She was like not alive almost. Like, it was weird because physically she was okay, but it was more of like an emotional.
Yeah.
Like, her body was just shutting down and it was scary. It was very scary.
Yeah. So Megan approached the subject with me on a more serious level, and you showed so much tenderness, knowing that this would be a really hard thing for me to turn away from, but you cared more about my soul. And I think that's such a beautiful part of our friendship, is that, like, we want to hang out in heaven together.
Yeah.
You know? And so she was willing to have like a really hard conversation with me that brought her to tears, but she did it in such a tender, loving way. And so, you know, I would listen to her and take it, you know, to heart, and there would be a little bit of freedom, but then, you know, in my mind, things would fester and I couldn't let go, all those things. So then,
and we did that probably
there were a couple of times. Yeah. And then there was a moment whenever, like, I had experienced as well during the muscle testing, that it almost made my body a separate entity to ask my body what was wrong with it. And
yeah, like, that is, that is the system.
It was like divination of the body.
Right.
Whereas the Lord, God created our bodies to be fully entwined, body and soul. And so I felt icky, but again, I didn't want to let go of it. So
well, I remember there was a moment too where it was, I had been reading a lot. I can't remember because I was over here going, I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. Like, I knew in my heart that the Lord was saying, Kendra needs to come out of this, but I can't force her, obviously. And, and it was definitely creating like a wedge between us where we couldn't have those deep conversations. And I can't function. I can't function when Kendra's not at a deep level. I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. I can't act like everything's normal and it's not normal. That's why I'm always like, are you okay? Because I just, I don't know. There's just such a freedom when you're fully alive. And I get to live alongside of you fully alive. It's just, it brings something out of me that the rest of the world just can't do. There's just something beautiful about that. So anyways, I was dealing with a lot of things and trying to read and figure out, like, what does the Lord want me to say next? And I can't remember where I read it. It might have been that St. Teresa of Avila book, but it was talking about when you know something is not of God and you choose it anyways, and what that does to your soul and how it hurts you. And that was what I couldn't let go of at that point. I was like, I don't know how to navigate this now because I know that that's happened. And you felt that too, right?
Yeah, yeah. So there was a moment whenever after being, you know, Megan, you know, had a couple of conversations with me, brought all this to light, showed me what she's been reading. We had asked, you know, asked our priest friend, and he shared with us, you know, what he received from his priest friend at the exorcism school. And everything was pointing to, like, run away hard. But I didn't want to. I was so entrenched in it. And again, like, there was, like, deeper level of entrenchment, I guess, that I was unaware of. But once I consciously was like, no, I need this, I'm going back. Mm-hmm. That's whenever I can visibly look back, timeline of our family life, and it was like I had flung wide a door for the enemy and evil spirits to just go to town. And so my daughter started having crazy things happen. Mm-hmm. My kids started getting sick, like, nonstop the entire month of December. Someone was sick. I was still, you know, having...
You were not healthy.
I was not healthy, no. And then it was at, like, kind of the precipice before I even knew it was going to be that. And the Lord had been waking Megan up in the middle of the night.
Forgot about that.
3 a.m.
Yeah.
And she was storming heaven for me. And she was praying her heart out for me. And the next time we were driving home from a meeting, heading to daily mass, and she was like, Kendra, I'm going to bring this up one more time. And again, so lovingly, so tender. I'm going to bring this up one more time. And it was more like, it wasn't like, I'm going to tell you the facts. It was like, your soul is in danger. And my heart is breaking because I know your soul is in danger. And she was in tears. And I was like, defiant.
You were like, this is not the right time for this.
Right. Yes. Like, I don't think I've ever like snapped back at you before, but I was like, let's just go to mass. This isn't the time for this conversation.
Well, it was like, or we just had like this beautiful conversation with Father Piega.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and then I just ruined everything. That's what it felt like. I was like, I'm sorry.
But then we go into mass and the Lord just, the scales fell from my eyes. Everything made sense. God showed me how things had gotten so cloudy and how I allowed them to get so cloudy. He was just so good in all of that. And in Megan's prayers for me were the grace to do that and for the Lord to answer those prayers. And, 'cause he was wanting freedom for me.
Yeah.
You know, well, I probably long before you knew that I needed freedom. Like, he knew.
Right. Oh, yeah. I didn't know. I thought it was fine.
And so you being so open to the Holy Spirit and praying for me and fighting for me was like a small glimpse externally of the Father's heart for my freedom through you.
Yeah.
And we walked out of mass and I turned to Megan and I was like, you're right.
I'll never forget that moment. The look in your eyes, it was like, there was like a glisten in your eyes that I hadn't seen in months. And you were like, Megan, the scales fell from my eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a changed person than I was when I walked in. And I was like, like, I was shocked. You know, I just didn't.
And I wept. We sat in the car in the parking lot and I wept for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I knew what this was going to mean. I knew
And it wasn't easy from there. Like, you had some like two steps forward, one step back kind of things. Yeah. And I was like, no, keep going forward.
And the enemy was like, it was like a tug of war. Mm-hmm. You know, the enemy was coming after me and that, and after my family. And I ended up, you know, reaching out to Deacon Guadalupe and Father Kyle at our parish. And they did, you know, unbound healing prayer session over me and, you know, breaking off a spirit of fear, breaking off so many different things, breaking off anxiety, breaking off my ties to muscle testing, ties, you know, all those things, and having Father Kyle like lay his hands over my head. I like, it was done.
Yeah.
Like, I knew the door was closed. I was protected. It was done. And from there, it's just been this beautiful journey of like the Lord. It was very hard to surrender and to trust. But he's just been gently leading me through, finding healing and restoration. Yeah. And, you know, looking back on it, it's like, yeah, I can just see where things went the way they did, why they did, you know, just how the enemy just got in there. But anyways, all that to say, when our podcast about friendship, yeah, like that's our friendship. Like, yeah, make, just fighting yeah, for me and praying for me. And
I don't know that there's anybody else in the world that I would have done that for, except for Chad. I mean, I would have fought for Chad that hard, or for one of my kids. I don't think I would have had the permission to speak to anybody else that way. But you have given me that permission to speak into your life like that. And even after this, we had other friends who were going to muscle testing. I didn't go like knock their door down and be like, right, you need to stop. Like,
yeah.
We just told them, hey, I'm sorry that we invited you into something that we now realize is wrong. And I don't have the permission to speak into their lives like that. But something about with you, I knew that we're friends forever, and that I could, because we needed it. You needed it. And to be real honest, it wasn't like super altruistic on my part. Like, I needed it. I needed my best friend back. And I felt like I'd lost you. And I also thought this is going to take down his beloved if we don't figure this out. Like, there was definitely some selfishness in there too, of like, I want you back. I need this to be fixed so that I can live my life. So it wasn't like I was all like, just, you know, completely sacrificial the whole time. I needed you. I do remember you saying over and over, and I felt this way too, the Lord hunted you down. Like that song, Reckless Love, like, there was no shadow he wouldn't light up. Like, he was knocking doors down, walls down, fighting for you.
Lion of Judah.
And when you have been through something like that, there's no question as to his strength, as his love, as his kindness, his generosity. There's no doubt in your mind of who he is, because you have experienced it and felt it. And I got to watch all of that, which was really beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for being such a good friend. I was just crazy. Ignoring me for the rest of your life.
Thank you for fighting for me.
This summer I we were at Annunciation summer camp, and I've always like kind of struggled a little bit with Mary and understanding Mary. And I go through phases of like being close to her and then like forgetting about her for a while, and then being close to her and then forgetting for a while. Not like turning away, just focusing on Jesus and kind of, you know, losing sight. And I guess it was like 2 years ago, we were praying. Maybe it was when we were in Healing Hearts. I can't remember. I was praying and I had this vision, and it was this vision of Kendra and I. How did it start? It might have been that we were praying through the Annunciation, maybe, or through the visitation. Is that what it was? We might have been doing like imaginative prayer with the visitation of Mary and Elizabeth. And there was just this vision that I had of Mary and Elizabeth, and Mary's coming to visit Elizabeth's house. And then it turned into like Kendra and I, and we were both pregnant, which I don't think either one of us was pregnant at the time, but it was more like we were like pregnant with the gospel, not like pregnant with a human being, but it was like we were pregnant with Jesus, if that makes sense. That sounds really weird, but I mean like the word of God.
You know what I mean?
Like Emmanuel kind of Jesus. And it was like we were both had this like beauty welling up inside of us kind of thing. And we were like jumping up and down and like celebrating one another. And it was just this like beautiful image of like Christian sisterhood of like, we're going to run hard towards the gospel together.
Yeah.
And I've had several things like that over the years of like the Lord saying like, yes, go. And anyway, so over the summer when I was at camp, I was reading through this book, and it was about Mary. And I realized I spent a lot of time thinking about like the identity of Jesus, of like who Jesus is, the names of Jesus, but I hadn't really ever like said, well, who is Mary? Because I think that's one of my things that's really hard for me is like Mary seems like really far away and lofty and hard to understand and all those things. And so the Lord invited me to like make a list of who Mary was. I probably should have brought it down here, but it was really sweet. It was just like gentle and kind. Oh, it was talking about Mary being at the kitchen sink when you walk in the door. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
It was like you walk into Mary's house and she's at the kitchen sink when you walk in the door. What does she do when you walk in? And it was just like this beautiful image of Mary being like so excited to see me and kind and gentle. And so then I started naming all these things that were like attributes of Mary. And I got to the bottom of the list and the Lord said, those are Kendra's attributes too. And that like Kendra is a living embodiment of Mary on earth, which was really powerful. And it's true. I mean, like you are the most hospitable, loving, kind, generous person ever. because that is you standing at the kitchen sink every time I walk in the door. Like, even when you're trying to like make dinner and you're like, Megan, could you leave? Like, you're still really like really hospitable, really generous, really kind.
Keep me company while I chop onions.
Yeah, I know. Which is fun. Anyways, it was really powerful for me to see you in her and her in you. So wow. I really do believe that's who you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if we gave anybody any really like tips on how to become a good friend, or we just gushed about our friendship. But I do have a few things. Okay. So these are some things I've learned along the way that are like tips. Honesty and vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And I heard on a podcast yesterday, there's a difference between sharing your life and being vulnerable. Mm. I thought that was profound.
Yeah.
Because you can meet with somebody and be like, oh yeah, so-and-so's going to college. This person's doing this. This is what's happening in my life, versus like,
my heart is breaking because my daughter just left for college.
Right. Like, let's be vulnerable and say, like, what's really going on behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And again, you can't do that with everybody, right?
Yeah.
We've also talked about in the past that Jesus had his, you know, 72 disciples or apostles. Which one's which? I get those mixed up. The 72 apostles that went out. And then he had the 12. Right. Disciples. And then 12 disciples.
Right?
Yeah.
Now I'm getting confused.
I know. I can't ever remember. It's like a rectangle or a square.
Oh, I think it's apostles are the 12 and disciples go. Now I don't know.
Anyways, he had his 72, which was like lots of people. And then he had his 12, which were the main 12 that we know. But then he had his three that were like Peter, James, and John that he was the closest to.
Yeah.
And so I think everybody needs their close, mm-hmm. vulnerable people. And maybe some of those 12 can be part of vulnerable conversations too, but the 72 doesn't need the vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right? But we need those same things. We need like a big group of people that we're friends with and we can say hi to at mass.
Community.
And then we need like a 12 where we're a little bit closer to them. And then we need the three that are, or even two that are, you're just your deep, close knit friendships.
Yeah.
So that was one thing.
I was thinking, just to go along with that, this is kind of morbid and my apologies, but there's a neighbor down the street who lost her husband unexpectedly almost a year ago. And anytime I think of, I mean, that's like unfathomable. And I pray for her all the time, but the evening night has to be so hard, you know? And I was thinking about like, if Chris were to pass away, someone needs to come sleep in my bed for just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought the same thing for you. Not at all like wishing this to happen. No.
Yeah.
God and his
But we know we wouldn't be alone in that.
Right. Yeah. Like if something were to happen to Chad, like I'd come snuggle you at night. So you're not alone. You know, like that's the depth of love, that I think we have for each other.
Yeah. And I think family can like, be that love too.
Yeah,
right? Like sisters and cousins. And one thing I think is really beautiful about Kendra and I is she has a sister and I will never take place of her sister. And I have a cousin. And I remember one time I posted a happy birthday to her and I said to my, my best friend of all time or something like that. And Chris was like, Kendra, you just got replaced by her cousin. Do you remember that? And I was like, no, those are different things. Like, she's like my sister and you have your sister.
Yeah.
So, but those sisters don't live in this town with us.
Right.
And so we get to kind of be family for each other when that family is absent.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in a time like that too, like that three could also be deep family relationships too. It doesn't have to be a community that's outside of your family.
Right.
But it could be. Right. And it could be, if you don't have family, then, then find people that can be your sisters.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay. That's another thing. I had this whole list, but I didn't bring it with me. Have fun together.
Mm-hmm.
Be silly. Have a good time. Don't just talk about, like if you're moms, don't just talk about mom things all the time. That's not fun. Talk about your own hearts and your own things and things that are exciting to you. Kendra's always really good about inviting us into play and doing fun things. Mm-hmm. You said the other day at the retreat that you're not the fun one. You totally are the fun one. You always want to make things fun.
I disagree. Along with that, invite them into your messy home.
Yes.
And show up without makeup on.
Yes.
And even without a bra sometimes. Like Jesus invited his three up to the transfiguration and that was his way of like, this is all of me.
Right.
Right. And God was like, this is all of him. Almost like, I don't want to like downplay the transfiguration because that's just such intimacy, a beautiful thing. Yeah. Just that intimacy of complete openness.
Yeah. You were so good at that because especially when you live on the same street, you can't always have your home
Yeah.
Prepared when somebody comes. And yeah. I'm still going to be the person who, if somebody's coming to my house, I'm going to run around for 5 minutes as fast as I can mm-hmm. and pick up everything I can pick up. Mm-hmm. I'm still that person. Is it going to be clean and perfect? No.
Yeah.
But Kendra's so good about being like, hey, y'all, this is just my life. Come on in. Like, right. this is just how we do. Yeah. And I think if you didn't do that, it would have really created a barrier between our friendship. Because mm. if you were too afraid to let me into your house, mm-hmm. like there's people honestly, on the street whose houses I've never been in, right? Like
I have had to break down walls with that. Like yeah. growing up, my mom, Southern charm lady, you know, we always had our house clean, picked up when people came. And so it was all about like how we're presenting ourselves. And I think there's a difference between how you're presenting yourself and honoring the guest that comes in. And so,
yeah.
so, you know, we still pick up for some people and my kids know, like, cause they say sometimes, well, why do I need to clean if someone's coming over? It's like, we want to honor them as they come into our house.
There's a dangerous thing there of like, right? we need to clean, it's fine. Like,
right. We want to honor their presence. And the fact that they're taking time out of their lives to come visit us. But for a long time, I would stress out every day when I first moved on the street, thinking like my house is a mess and they're going to come in and they're going to see it. And you know, what are they going to think? And
yeah.
it was a major source of stress for me yeah. that well, I had to really work through.
And two of our friends on the street are both very neat people.
True.
Just clean.
Yes.
Way cleaner than you and I are.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's stressful. And it's not yeah. like in a performative kind of way. They just are very tidy.
Yeah.
And you and I are not.
Right.
So it's a little
maybe
harder.
We long to be.
We
but,
do long to be
you
a little
know.
Bit more like that. But we. Yeah. But I also know that I would make myself crazy.
Yeah.
If I tried to be, yeah. to keep my house to that level, I can't. Like, it's
right.
just.
Yeah.
It's just
but
not
the,
where
but
I
the
be.
More I allowed y'all into the reality that is behind my front door, the more I was able to open you up to the reality that's behind my heart.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's just something about coming into someone's home and just being in the mess with them, right? Like,
yeah.
There's deep value in that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was really good. So yeah, don't clean up too much. And the other thing we do a lot of times too is like, we'll have front yard parties mm-hmm. and they're so low key and we are not fancy party throwing people. No,
right.
let me rephrase that. I love to throw a good party.
Yeah.
I love to
it.
Throw everything all matchy matchy, Pinteresty. I love that.
Yeah.
For like a birthday party.
Yeah.
But when it's like a friend get together,
yeah.
we've never even had like,
you got paper
plates?
I got them.
Yeah.
I got plastic forks. Great. Let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah. Hot dogs, hamburgers, whatever. We pull the grill out in the front yard.
Yeah.
Just whatever food we have. One of our favorite things to do is, to celebrate Halloween as a street and invite people over and just build community in,
yeah.
in that way. And then Valentine's, we all do pancakes in the street and mm-hmm. dance and just fun little traditions like that that our kids so look forward to.
Yeah.
And doesn't have to make anybody stressed, right?
Right.
Like, I'm not about making somebody have a sit-down dinner for me. That's
right.
just not how I operate. We'll
yeah.
probably never use that china that's in the cabinet over there. It's just never going to happen.
We use it for a birthday party, tea party.
Yes. We might have a tea party.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then the other thing is, so one thing that Kendra and I do together is we go to Costco together.
Yes.
And it's just funny because I don't have a Costco card yeah. And Chad's like, do you want to get a Costco card? And I'm like, no, I'm good because I'd rather go with my friends. And sometimes Rachel takes me and sometimes Kendra takes me, but I was listening to Jenny Allen last year mm-hmm. and she was saying like, she was talking about friendships and she was saying like, if you don't have a lot of time, don't say, hey, let's go sit at a coffee shop and waste time there or go to a fancy dinner if you don't
or
have a lot of
money.
Or give
up on the friendship because you don't have time
or
for those
things.
Or give
up. Like,
right.
Just go to Costco together. Like
yeah.
that was actually the word she said. Go to Costco together.
I love that.
And going to Costco is so super fun because we have heck like yeah. the time to drive in the car to talk to each other. We shop around. Our kids get we bring the little girls with us and they eat snacks the whole time.
And samples.
Then, yeah. eat all the samples. Then we have a hot
yeah.
dog at the end and come back with food. And it's like time where we're not having to, you know, we're not talking about anything like business wise. It's
right,
just us
yeah.
having a chance to
yeah.
to connect and have fun. And
yeah.
and that's really fun.
I love that.
So yeah.
super fun. We need to go to Costco, by the way.
I know. I'm waiting
minute.
For you to say let's go to Costco. Well, yesterday, this is so funny. We our little girls go to the same preschool and so we take turns picking them up. And down the street from our school is an HEB. And so Kendra texted me and said, hey, I'll get the girls. And I was like, no, it's okay. I'll get them because I'm going to go to HEB. And she was like, I'm going to HEB for pickup too. And so we pull up to the HEB curbside pickup, park next to each other.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, well, hey there. How's it going? And so we're waiting on our food and we're talking to each other because they were kind of slow. And And so the lady comes to my car first, and I open, I have a van. I open the back of it, and she starts to put the groceries in my car. Well, I remember the whole back of my car is filled with flowers and things from our last, his beloved retreat that we have still not taken out of my car. It's Thursday. We should probably do that. And I was like, oh no, my car is filled with stuff. And so I don't even know why I did this. I started to close the like hatchback on my car.
On her.
And the poor lady's head is like in my car. And she's this cute little young thing. And she's like, ah. And she pulls her head back out. I was like, I'm so sorry. And I said, it's okay. There's no room in there. Just come put them in this car. And I just walk over to Kendra's car. Kendra's not even out of the vehicle. I walk over to Kendra's car and I open the back of it. And I'm like, you could just put it in there. And she's looking at me like, I'm okay.
You lost your mind.
Well, and I was like, no. She's my neighbor. We live across the street. It's fine. All that stuff in the back of my car, a lot of that's her stuff anyways. It's fine. Just put it in this car. Yeah.
And then you pulled away to go get the girls. And then the guy came out with my groceries. And so I walked to the back and I'm like, oh, this, I'm like, this is a funny story. So
it was
I start
a great story.
Telling him this great funny story. And he's just staring at me like, this is not funny, lady. Where do I put your groceries?
Just let me put your groceries in your car. That was so funny. I'm so done with you.
But the sweet girl, she was sweet. She was like, oh, I can tell you guys are friends and all this stuff. I got to pour into her a little bit about that.
Yeah. Fun. But I think there's definitely a way that we really support one another.
Yeah.
We really
champion one another.
We champion one another. Man, yes. We run hard. Like, we want to be each other's cheerleaders, and for other people too, not just for the two of us. Like, Kendra's taught me really how to be a cheerleader for people. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun to just be able to like, I see the Lord in you.
Yeah.
I see beautiful things happening in your life. And it's super fun. But even like just day to day, like we pick up each other's kids. We drop each other's kids off. We do a lot of that kind of stuff. And one of the things that Jenny Allen said is people should not have all of their own things. Like, not everybody on the street needs a chainsaw. Not everybody on the street needs a leaf blower. Like, share with each other. And we do a lot of that kind of stuff. Like,
yes, Megan and Rachel provided red beans for my chili last night.
We did. I showed up with a can of red beans. Well, you know, what's funny is that's one of the things she says too, is like, don't run to the store when you forgot something. Run to your neighbor's house.
Yeah.
And make that like a community thing that you do. Yeah. And so we do that a lot. Like, I almost never think, oh, I'm going to go to the store. I'm like, I'm going to hit up the neighbors before I go anywhere else. And one year we were making, what do you call them? Caramel apples.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt was over and I realized you have to have milk for that, which I didn't know. And so I was like, hold on, I got to get some milk. And so I went out the front door and she goes, are you going to HEB? That's our grocery store. And I was like, no, I'm going to the Bartlett's house. I'm going to HEB. And so my kids have started calling your house H.E. Bartlett. They have a name for us too. I can't remember what ours is, but there's something about Copeland's being a grocery store too. But like, that's just how we like operate. And there's just something to be said for like bearing the burdens for each other, even physically, but also just – there's a closeness there of like, like you were talking about when we were out of town and you come into our cabinets and get things out.
Yes.
And I was like, oh girl, she was like, y'all are never going to let me be in charge of your house when you leave. And I was like, I do the same thing. Yeah. Like when you're out of town and we run out of beans, I go get beans.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah. I was like, no, don't you worry about that. Like same. I'm not going to be weird about it at all.
Yeah.
Anyways, but it's a blessing. You have any other tips?
I had one, but it's gone.
Championing? Maybe.
Yes.
No.
Still gone.
Yeah.
Well, it was something about that.
And teaching kids to champion each other too, I think is really powerful. I think there's something, I don't know why, just something that tells kids to like have a scarcity mindset and hold fast to what they have. And if you have something special, then that means I'm not special. And that's just
right,
not the way
the
world.
Right, it's not fair. You know, my kids do that all the time. It's not fair that she got candy and I didn't. It was like, well, let's just be happy for her.
Yeah.
She got to experience something.
Yeah. And it's just not the way the world works. Like if someone else is beautiful, that doesn't make you not beautiful.
Right.
Right. Like it's just, but that scarcity mindset allows the enemy to really get into our hearts and our minds and cause division and frustration where there shouldn't be.
I remember what I was going to say. Two things. Number one, pray together.
Yes. That's important.
Pray together. Not just for one another at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That is powerful, but also pray together, because in that place is also a place of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was dating Chris, this was like whenever I had given up on guys and I knew Chris was the one, but I knew like prayer is such an intimate thing. I guarded my heart there that I didn't want to pray out loud with him until like I knew we were down that path, even though I kind of knew we were down that path. And Chris was like, no, that's like a very intimate place. And so I invite you to pray together out loud. Don't worry about what it sounds like, but go there with your friend. Shoot, I forgot the second one again. It's good. Maybe the Holy Spirit doesn't want me to say it.
Prayer. Let's stay on prayer for a second.
So, okay.
Last weekend we put on a retreat in Bryan College Station, and I had a really hard thing happen on Friday afternoon. And it was like tearing Kendra up because she couldn't like be in that vulnerable place with me. We had kids around, we were at volleyball, there's like all these things. Mm-hmm. And we drove down really late to College Station Friday night. And so we had like a little like 5 minute, like, let me just tell you what happened. Okay, let's drive. And it was really hard. Ministering out of a place of brokenness was a challenge, but beautiful because the Lord showed up there for me. But on the morning of, we got there like 2 hours early, and we came in and we set up all the decor and everything, and we had like a whole hour. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, well, let's go pray. So we go outside, and we live in Texas. It's just now getting a little bit chilly here. It's for sure not cold in any way. And so Kendra was like, let's go sit over there by that Mary statue and pray. We sat down for like 3 minutes, and we were like, we are freezing. We cannot stay out here. Like,
we're weenies.
Like, why can't we sit right here? This is terrible. Like, we're both wearing pants. What is wrong with us? And so we go and sit in my car, and we didn't bring our phones with us. And Kendra, like, we started praying over the women, and then we started praying over my situation, and the Lord was like showing us these beautiful visions, and she's helping me renounce these things. And I felt so much freedom from that moment of prayer, that if I didn't have that and I was just battling this on my own, I would still be all knotted up in pain because of what I experienced, you know?
Yeah.
So there was like real, like, taking swords and fighting kind of prayer happening in that morning. But it was funny though, cause we didn't have our phones and we didn't know. We assumed that like the woman who was running the retreat was inside. Well, she had left too. So
yeah,
our 2 15-year-old daughters were the only ones there, and women started showing up and they were like, where are Megan and Kendra? And at this point we've been gone 45 minutes. No one can find us. And someone said, I'm pretty sure they're off praying. And they're like, why are they praying? Now is not the time to pray.
Yes, it is.
And they're like, of course they're praying. Of course that's what they're doing right now.
That's so funny.
And we came back in and we were like, oh, what's the matter? Y'all needed us? I'm sorry. Like,
we were praying. Of course you were.
We were just praying. What's wrong with that?
That's so funny. That's awesome. Yeah, that was funny. Okay, I remember what I was going to say. Whenever I kind of mirrored it to marriage, you know, diving into the friendship. Whenever I talk to young people about, you know, praying for their spouse and, you know, waiting for their spouse and that sort of thing. I give them the analogy of like, you want to be running towards the Lord and then look to your side and you see him there. You don't look behind and you try to pull him up. You don't, you know, that sort of thing. And I think that is so relatable to friendship too. Like, you want to be able to be running hard towards the Lord and look to the beside you and you see your kingdom sister and you run together. And that's who you are to me. You know, like, I firmly believe that you are my 2x2. Like, God sent his disciples out 2x2. And you are my 2x2. And God has a 2x2 for you.
Yeah.
He has a 2x2 for you. 100% he has a 2x2 for you.
Yeah. And you can trust him in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think there's something really important to be said too, for in times of loneliness and in the waiting, that's when God is the most present.
Mm-hmm.
So
if
you haven't found that 2x2 yet,
just get a holy hour.
Cling to the heart of the Father.
Yeah.
Let him pour into you. Let him build you up. Because as we've already mentioned, multiple times of deep suffering in our lives have shown us who God is and have given us like firm foundation for the goodness of God, even though it was really hard. So this could be that moment for you where you just really fall in love with the heart of God and let him create that identity in you that then allows you to be a good and holy friend to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It comes back to that healing thing, right? Like, if you're not healed and whole, it's hard to be friends in a good, healthy, open, you know, friendship like that.
Yeah.
So just take advantage of this time.
Yeah, for sure.
And let the Lord pour
advice
into you.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yay.
All right. Well, this is fun.
I love you.
I love you too. It's good times.
Good times.
It's fun.
Can we see what God doing in your heart?
Oh,
because
we've been
kind of just
for a long time.
We have been. We kind of
this whole thing isn't what's God doing in your heart.
I know.
So I think we should.
I think we're good.
Let that one go.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
Yes.
We pray that this blesses you, and we're praying for y'all.
Yeah. And share it with a friend, either maybe somebody who is your kingdom sister, who you feel like you want to deepen your faith and friendship with, or maybe someone who you don't know all that well and you're inviting into friendship, or anybody you know in your life that might be lonely or looking for a way to let the Lord guide them.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Bye friends. Guys.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. Every chance we get to meet with you and talk about Jesus just brings so much joy to our hearts. I pray that the revival is coming, and I pray that the revival is coming through you. Did you know that you're part of this? I pray that every single day you grow more in love with Jesus, you hear his voice more, you follow him more, and I pray that this podcast is helping you a little bit along that way. If you are liking what you're hearing, we would love for you to share it with a friend. We would love for you to make a review on your podcast app, Apple, Spotify, whatever podcast app you use, and we would love for you to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and email us if you ever have any questions or you just want to share what God did in your heart today during the episode. See you next week.